This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, feline friends, and welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So, you know, you have cats, and they're, well, you know, cats are mostly in your house. You might have a catio, but how can you make it really fun for your cats? Well, stay tuned. I have two amazing guests today, and we're going to talk about the wonderful things you could do to your home to make it more cat friendly. We'll be right back after this message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Pam Johnson-Bennett. She is a best-selling author and a cat behavior expert. And I would also like to welcome Dr. Amy Shirley, who is a veterinarian and is also a level 3 fear-free certified professional. So, ladies, can you tell a little bit about yourself?
I am a certified cat behavior consultant, and I have been in this field for over 40 years. I love cats. I love helping cat parents develop the relationship that they always wanted with their cats. I have written 8 books, and I do private consultations, and I lecture, and I will just lecture you about your cat's behavior any chance I get.
Thank you. And Dr. Shirley?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm Dr. Amy Shirley, and I have a veterinary hospital where we see primarily small animals, dogs and cats. I also have a love for felines, and so also for behavior. And so we have joined with fear-free certification in order to have a fear-free practice. And what that means is that we do kind of join the physical health of your pet as well as their emotional health. And so we look at stress as it relates to coming into the vet office. We do things a little bit differently, just low stress handling. The environment is set up in such a way that we really try to minimize stress if they're in the hospital, if they're here for an appointment. Everything is just designed and set up in such a way so that, you know, so that they're not stressed when they come to have medical things or annual checkups and that sort of thing.
I love that. And before we talk about how to create a cat wonderland, let's talk about something that it depends on the cat. Some cats are easy, some cats are not. Getting your cat in the carrier, which is part of your cat wonderland in your home, so you could bring the cat to your veterinarian. Dennis will walk in. The other two, I had to cancel an appointment once. I couldn't get her in the crate. So what are some things we could do before we get into creating a cat wonderland? Let's talk about how we can make the cat carrier more cat friendly.
You want to start with training, and it's never too early. If you have a kitten, get that kitten comfortable with being in a carrier. And I recommend a kennel type carrier, the plastic one where it comes apart, and you just leave it open. You leave the door open, or you can take the door off, put a towel in there, get the cat comfortable with using that as a little hideaway, feed the cat around the carrier, toss treats around there and eventually inside the carrier. And then a big mistake that people make is they get the cat in the carrier, and then they take them in the car, and the first place they go is the veterinarian. And so the cat is terrified of being in the carrier, terrified of the motion of the car, and then the visit ends up at the veterinary clinic. So the association of the carrier is, oh my gosh, I hate this. So you want to get the cat comfortable with being in the carrier, being in the car, the sound of the car being turned on in each subsequent session, you know, then driving around the block and not always ending up at the veterinary clinic. And I also recommend, and Dr. Shirley can talk more about this on her end of it, on the receiving end, is go to the veterinary clinic for hello visits, you know, get the cat comfortable with, you know, being touched and being in that veterinary environment where nothing happens. The more you socialize the cat and acclimate the cat to things that are going to happen in life, the easier it will be for those annual vet visits, but also in an emergency. In an emergency, you do not want to be crawling under the bed to get your cat out and shove him in the carrier. We want to make this experience easy, stress-free, and we want to get the cats to the veterinary clinic to get the help they need.
That is such great advice. And Dr. Shirley, what can you add to that from your end?
Sure, absolutely. No, I agree with all that. And I was just going to add that, you know, cats are different in that they are more attached to place versus dogs get attached more to people. I mean, cats do too, but cats are very attached to place. And so their pet taxi can be like their safe base camp. So you can bring that with you when you travel or go to the vet. And so you're bringing a little piece of their home with them. So I do recommend having it out, not just, we used to tell people, we'll get it out a week or two before you go to the vet, so they're used to seeing it. But I would recommend, if possible, having it out all the time as part of their daily, you know, interactions with it. Like you said, when you feed them in there, let them take naps in it. So that way, when they do go into a stressful environment, they have something very familiar that they can bring with them.
One little tip some people forget is when you come home from the veterinary clinic, especially if your cat has had any kind of procedure, wash the carrier. Don't just put it back out in the house again. Wash it, put a fresh towel in there, especially if you have a multi-cat environment where the other cats are coming around. You don't want them to smell the carrier and get scared by it. So that's something we forget on the coming home end.
Great advice. Okay, let's talk now about your cat wonderland. And first, what about catnip? So I know that some cats, there's a small percentage of cats that don't have any of the catnip, doesn't have any effect on it. But is it true that catnip is kind of like a cocktail for your cats?
It's a great way to just lower those inhibitions. And I use it in consultations with cats who are frightened, cats we're trying to develop a bond, a cat who has just been, cat who's depressed, a cat who's overweight and doesn't really move much, or a cat who's reluctant to play. It's a really powerful tool. Catnip is fun, but it's also beneficial. And so using it correctly, it's an important tool in your behavior toolbox. But cat parents either don't use it because they're afraid of it. They think, oh, I don't want my cat drugged, but it's not an addictive substance. Or they use it too much. They just get toys that, you know, have catnip in it. And that's something I don't recommend. You want to know the catnip that you're using. So the toys that already have catnip in them, you don't know the quality of the catnip. You don't even know if it's catnip at all. So I like to get a toy and I marinate the toy in a container that I've put catnip, and I like good, fresh, organic catnip. And, you know, in our house, I use Pet Greens because I know the company and know the quality of the catnip. But it's a powerful tool and it's fun. I mean, how great is that for cats that they get to have all this fun and there's no downside to it?
And then what about how much he should use? Because I just sprinkle a little. And then sometimes my partner, he'll say, you know, oh, that makes them crazy. I don't want them so crazy. But I think they're just having fun.
They are having fun. It just it just removes all those inhibitions and they just get to enjoy and be silly. And catnip comes either dried, which you can, you know, rub on a toy. I like the fresh catnip, and you can either pluck a leaf and let the cat sniff it and eat it. It's okay if they eat it, even though the effect is going by them smelling it, it's safe for them to eat. Or as I said before, you can marinate a toy with it. A couple things, do not give catnip. In my opinion, you should not give catnip more than 2 or 3 times a week because they can lose their ability to react to it if you leave it out all the time. So I make it a special thing. The other thing is, each cat is individual in how they react to it. So give catnip, if you're doing it for the first time, isolate that cat and give that cat catnip to see how they are. Some male cats can get a little too enthusiastic, and you don't want, you know, anything, you don't want them to get a little too rough with another cat. So see how each cat reacts to it. But in general, it's just such a fun time. It's like 15, 20 minutes where they just get to have a blast. And imagine how great that is if a cat has been stressed about something or depressed or just doesn't feel trusting enough to be able to play. So it's nature's, it's such a gift from nature.
And Dr. Shirley, what are your thoughts?
No, I love that so much. And I'll just speak about how we incorporate some of that enrichment in the veterinary office too, because we do sometimes offer catnip, you know, during their visit. And it's just, they don't, may not act the same as they would at home with it, but it can change their emotional response in any small way to bring their stress level down. Sometimes we'll offer them things to smell. We offer a variety of treats, sometimes like tuna or a churu is a popular liquid kind of cat treat that they often will, even just smelling it, I think sometimes will lower their emotional stress level. And that's our goal, is just to try to bring it down as much as we can while they're in our hospital. And kittens and stuff like that, I know you mentioned, you know, doing things to so they have a positive response. So we start when they're kittens. We'll have toys or cat wands in the room that they can play with, so that they're, so going to the vet doesn't have to be equal to stressful or unpleasant.
That's great. All right, we're going to be right back right after this break.
Hey, pet parents. Ever wondered how to safely bring the great outdoors inside and connect your indoor pets with nature? Meet Pet Greens, the pioneers in organic live cat grass, catnip, and treats powered with green nutrition. Discover the healing properties of wheatgrass, packed with nutrients and gentle green fiber to support digestive health. Pet Greens helps your pets truly thrive inside. Check out our full range of live cat grass, catnip, and treats at petgreens.com. That's petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Pam Johnson-Bennett and Dr. Amy Shirley about catnip and all kinds of wonderful things you could do for your cat at home. So how can we tap into our cat's natural hunting instinct at home and, you know, make things fun for our cat?
Well, outdoors, cats would have all this stimulation to hunt. You never know what they're going to come across and they're going to hunt. But we want to keep our cats safe. Outdoors, there's so many unpredictable and dangerous things out there. But when we bring our cats indoors, we don't just want to, life shouldn't stop. They shouldn't just become couch potatoes. So we want to incorporate the things that they would naturally do, to hunt and to play, to climb, you know, to do all those cat things that are the essence of cat life. And so since you don't have to bring in a mouse for them to hunt, you can use an interactive toy, which is basically just a fishing pole toy, you know, type that has a wand, a string, and a toy on the end. And the great part about that is if you do that at least a couple times a day for a minimum of 15 minutes each, then on a regular basis, you're giving your cat that stimulation so that not only physically is it beneficial because they're getting to move, it's mentally beneficial because they're engaging what's natural for them. And it's a great bonding experience for you. So interactive playtime, a couple times a day. And the key is move the toy like prey. We don't want to have the toy waving around like crazy and the cat never gets it, because that's not how they hunt. They use their brain and their stealth as much as they're jumping and leaping. So if you move the toy like prey, moving across or away from the cat's visual field, alternate, you know, in the air with on the ground movements, the cat gets that stimulation and gets to really engage that brilliant brain. And then let them have a lot of little captures and then one grand capture at the end of the game. And that's a great way to start with enrichment. You know, that just letting your cat have fun.
Dr. Shirley, what are some things that you would suggest to a pet parent to, you know, add some cat fun to their home?
Yeah, so I love that. And I love that also, you know, is good for their physical health too. Like, we see a lot of obesity in our feline patients. And so really encourage people to portion feed, and having that 15 minutes of playtime a couple of times a day can keep their muscle tone up and try to prevent excessive weight gain as well.
You want to provide the cat with what they would naturally have. So, example, you know, we talked about playtime. Yes, they would naturally hunt. So you do that through playtime. Scratching posts. Cats would scratch outside, whether it's on a tree or a fence post. So you want to have a good rough scratching post. Cats would climb outside. So you want to have climbing structures, whether it's a cat tree or sturdy cat shelves. You want to let the cat be able to engage in natural behaviors in the indoor environment. And that's the key to enrichment, so that the cat isn't just, well, I have nothing to do, so all I'm going to do is eat or sleep or hide under the bed. You want them to have those adventures so that they are engaging in normal, natural, and beneficial behaviors.
Okay. And what about taking some of their toys away? Because I've heard sometimes when they get overloaded, when there's too much in front of them.
Well, you can rotate toys. You don't have to have 10,000 toys out. You can rotate them and it'll be like new. And you can marinate little solo toys in catnip. And then that becomes a brand new toy. Interactive toys, I recommend that you have something that you can be a bird with. You have something that could be like a snake, something that could be like a bug or a mouse, because cats are opportunistic and they don't know what prey is going to be available. So this way they can, you give them the opportunity to use a different hunting technique. It's not so much how many toys, it's how you use them. And also with solo toys, I don't just put them in a toy basket or a box. I strategically place them for my cat to find during the day so that she has these little opportunities to hunt. A little fuzzy mouse I might put on the edge of the perch of her cat tree with the tail hanging down, or I might have a mylar ball just peeking out from the leg of a piece of furniture, or I'll take a paper bag that doesn't have any handles on it, put it on its side, and I'll stick a toy in there so that when she walks into the room, she sees the bag, looks in there, sees something, and dives in there and plays for a while. So you can set it up, little things, so that they have these little moments of playtime throughout the day when you're not around.
Those are some great ideas. Dr. Shirley, is there anything you do especially for your cat?
Yeah, I think like she's saying, just being creative. I know we have a cat tower that to me looked like it was in a great location, like, and it was near a big hall window, and they just didn't get on it very much, even though they come into that, it's our living room area. And we had just moved it randomly to the other side of the living room. Like, it's not even 10 feet from where it was. And now they get on it all the time. They're using the scratching post on it. They sit up on the top. So for whatever, you know, from their perspective. So sometimes playing around with different things, but I do agree. They love vertical spaces. They love being able to get high. And especially if you have a multi-cat household, you want to have multiple resources in different locations and places where they can increase their territory by getting up higher. You know, even if you're in a small space, that can add to their territory by adding those vertical spaces.
What about cat TV? So if you're setting up some kind of, you know, outside a window area, a bird feeder or a squirrel feeder, something like that.
Well, some cats will love that. I have bird feeders outside for my cat, but my yard is very secure. If you set up a bird feeder and it's going to entice the neighborhood cats around and that's going to stress your cat out, then that's not a good idea. So you have to base that on your individual circumstances. There's even actually cat TV. You can go on YouTube and find videos of mice and chipmunks and bugs and things that could entertain your cat. But anything that you're going to do that's visually stimulating, which is great, you also want to make sure you incorporate actual playtime so that the cat gets to actually hunt. Just don't underestimate the value of that actual playtime with your cat.
Okay. That makes me want to go out and buy some more of those cat toys. I love the ones that I think the most interactive are the ones with the rod, you know?
Right. And it lets you control the movement, but also it puts a distance between you and the cat. So if you have a cat who is very frightened you know, I do this a lot with cats that I'm doing rehab with, cats that came out of shelters or traumatic environments, and they don't want to come out from their little hiding space. I use the toy. I don't dangle it in their face, but I just move it enticingly. But I'm at a distance where they feel maybe it's okay to venture out a little bit. And if you have a cat who hasn't played much, even if they're under the bed and they stick a paw out, or you see their pupils, you know, react, or their ears perk up, or their whiskers go forward, it's a start. So even those little things can mean you're starting to break down that wall.
And Pam, you may want to talk about this too, because get your opinion on catios, like outdoor spaces. I know I have two cats that are bonded brothers. One is very much interested in being outdoors. Like if he gets an opportunity to try to get out the door when the dog goes out. And so we've incorporated some leash time. Like sometimes we'll take him out on a leash and he just loves to roll around in the dirt or on our patio concrete and just get outdoors and sniff the air. Our other cat is not quite so confident and prefers to just stay indoors, but we are thinking about building a catio. So I'm just interested to see your perspective on that too.
Yeah, I think catios are great as long as they're very, very sturdy and the cat always has a way to come back inside. Leash training is great too, but it's a long process indoors before you ever get your cat outdoors. And not every cat is a candidate for leash training, but catios are great. You know, if you want to allow your cat outside, a catio is the safest way to do it. But you just want to make sure it's really, really sturdy and the cat has the option to come back inside. And one thing is always in the summer, especially, make sure there are options for shade if the cat wants to be out there, because cats can get sunburned too.
Great advice. And, you know, I live in the South. It's the furthest place south, but we're not a southern place. So I'm in Fort Lauderdale and I call it the catio because it's their place, but it's really a patio for humans and cats. And they have a lot going on out there. You know, it's covered. There's a fan. We watch and make sure that they're not out there too long. We don't even let them go out when it's too hot.
Right. And you don't want to let them out when you're not there, because you don't know, even though they can't get out, you don't know if another cat or a dog is going to come by. And that could be very, very stressful. So if you do have a catio, you want to make sure it's only when you are there and you're monitoring what's going on.
Yes. And, you know, this is a little bit outside the cat wonderland, but some people like to let their cats enjoy being outside, you know, like indoor-outdoor cats. They like their cats to be just outdoors roaming around. I have my personal opinion on that, but what are your thoughts?
I have very strong opinions on it. And anyone who knows me, knows my work or read my books, knows I don't believe cats should be out roaming freely. There are too many unsafe things between cars and poisons and mean people and cats getting lost. I can't even imagine the level of heartbreak if my cat was outside and got hurt and couldn't get back and I didn't know where she was. So if you want your cat to enjoy the outdoors, do it safely. Plus, if you're doing indoor activities, if you're making the indoors more interesting through the things we talked about and engaging your cat, you're giving the cat the best of the outdoors in an indoor safe environment. I want to know where my cat is at all times.
Dr. Shirley, what's your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you totally, because I see so many, unfortunately, we see the worst of the things that can happen. Even just where we live, we've had cats that are on really, really good tick prevention, and they've still gotten cytoxoonosis, which is bobcat fever. And just like you said, there's so many different hazards. And so the best thing is to keep them indoors, and it's better for the wildlife population too, that they're not out hunting songbirds and other things. I will say that I do recommend microchipping, even if, because I have some people that say, well, my cat, you know, doesn't ever go outdoors, but you just never know. Like we've had a cat go missing while it was traveling, and 6 months later, it was relocated due to a microchip. It had been missing for 6 months and had been found and got back to the family safely. So I do recommend that as just an extra layer of protection.
I agree. All indoor cats, because somebody could slip out a door, and you know, many cats don't wear collars. Or if they do wear collars, it can come off. You know, if you use the breakaway collar, it can come off. So microchipping it's safe, it's easy. It's something, you know, that's done very quickly in the veterinary clinic. And it's tremendous peace of mind.
Okay, now I'll make my opinion known. I absolutely agree with both of you. I didn't want to muddy the pot by talking first. And just my thought. I actually, living in South Florida, I cannot understand even, it's beyond my understanding. I can't even wrap my head around that, why people would let their cat outdoors when it's hot out, which you see all the time. I mean, granted, there's a lot of strays and they're community cats and there's not that much you could do except maybe make them a shaded area because they're not going to be comfortable indoors. But the other thing is there's predators. There's lots of raccoons around here. In northern Florida, there's deer. So not a good place to have your cat outdoors. I don't think there's any place. My thought.
It's not worth the risk when you think about it. And I know that it is a hot topic and it is a big argument with some people who say it's cruel to keep a cat indoors. But I think if you provide the outdoor environment indoors and engage with your cat, you are giving your cat everything that they need that they would get from the outside without any of the dangers. You've reduced injury. You've reduced the risk of disease, parasites, cat getting lost, stolen, abused, poisoned. I mean, the list is endless.
I absolutely agree. Thank you both so much, Pam Johnson-Bennett and Dr. Amy Shirley, for coming on Catitude. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find out more about each of you?
Yeah, you can find our veterinary hospital at familypethealth.com. And you can also go on the fear-free website to look at the bigger, because you can find a fear-free certified professional, maybe even a certified hospital in your area is a good place to look. And then our hospital also puts out a podcast called the Family Pet Podcast, where it's for pet parents. So it's for pet owners, you know, cats and dogs. And we do have a lot of medical information on there. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
My website is catbehaviorassociates.com, and you can find information about my books there. I have a lot of articles on there, so whatever question you have, you can put in the search bar, and chances are I have an opinion on it. And I'm also very, very active on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is Think Like a Cat, and Facebook is Pam Johnson Bennett. And I love to interact and answer questions if I can. So I just want to get the education and have pet parents have the relationship they want with their cat that they always dreamed about having.
I hope all of you enjoyed this show. I loved having Pam Johnson-Bennett and Dr. Amy Shirley on the show and found out some great ways to keep my cats entertained. Please go to check out their website. Great information. So thank you both for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my audience for listening to Catitude and making it one of the most popular cat podcasts out there in the internet. I so appreciate it. Thanks to my crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for teaching me all about cats and letting me know that it is their catio, not my patio. And I don't mind sharing it all. And of course, thanks to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making the podcast that not only my podcast, but all podcasts on Pet Life Radio, just amazing. So when you're listening to them, you hear everything as well as it can be. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.